Would help if I bring the sermon. I mean, I could ramble on and on, but I don't think we want to go there, do we? The Heidelberg Catechism poses this question: what has God commanded us to ask of God? The answer: all things necessary for soul and body. All things necessary. Prayer lives at the core of our relationship with God, does it not? It's God's call for intimacy with us and our openness and reciprocity to that intimacy. But prayer is not for us alone, our own personal life and well-being. Paul, as mentor of the young clergyman Timothy, instructs him to teach his people to pray. But he warns him not to limit the scope of those prayers, but to include kings and all in authority. And of course, he's referencing Caesar. And in Ephesus, at the time of Timothy, there was a great emperor worship cult there. And you would think that they would be saying, or Paul would be saying, don't attend to those people at all. They are complete heretical, misguided folks. But no, he says, pray for the emperor, pray for the kings, and pray for all in authority. And the content of those prayers? They were to pray that the kings and all in authority might exercise good governance. Governance that would result in a safe and peaceful environment. A quiet, not traumatic, no upheaval, no instability, but a quiet and peaceful society. Paul recognized, as I'm sure did Timothy, that the world was then and is now a broken place. Humankind estranged from God and in need of being mended and made whole. And that mending comes from the goodness and grace of God and is mediated through prayer. Paul calls for intercessory prayer. Prayer that one raises on behalf and for the benefit of another. We do this a lot here. You're not unfamiliar with intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer is sacrificial, isn't it? In that it sets aside our interests and needs as we pray for the interests and needs of others. Such prayer draws us out of ourselves and our finite circle of concern. Intercessory prayer is compassionate, prompted by our hope that another will experience the grace and goodness of God as God sees fit to confer those gifts on them. We don't set the agenda in those prayers. We appeal to God to bless as God sees fit. We're praying for the benefit of that other person. Intercessory prayer sparks gratitude. Maybe not immediately, but it does go to work. It's hard to harbor harsh thoughts and ideas about someone we pray for. Seriously and consistently pray for. Now, we're encouraged to pray for our enemies, are we not? People we're out of sorts with. And are out of sorts with us. And we know we all live around and with people who irritate us. We work with people who just hit our buttons And if we pray for them, and at first we might pray for those, you know, patience with those irritations, help me to be patient with them as they do this and this and this, and recite their wrongs before God. I might be confessing here. Maybe you don't do that at all. But over time, if we consistently pray for that person, something shifts in us. We start to maybe come to mind things that we really see about them that are on the other side of that irritant and are really actually quite good. They start to get reframed in our mind, in our attitude, our heart. We must understand that God's grace is for everyone. Paul is clear about that. Everyone is of worth in God's eyes. Everyone. So we should be ready to pray for anyone. This that Paul offers to Timothy is certainly timely for us, is it not? Do we not live in a society that's rife with violence? It's not safe for many people. We do live in a society deeply fractured with deep divisions and a lot of intractable ideas, not willing to move or hear. Do we not see policies unfold in the halls of government that benefit some to the detriment of others? And do we not witness those in authority maneuvering away from good policy for the sake of their own power? We need to pray for our own kings and those in authority. But there's more to Paul's admonition than this, and a greater outcome than a quiet and peaceable life. He pairs quiet and peaceable life with godliness and dignity, doesn't he? Godliness, appropriate honor and reverence for God, evidenced by how one frames one's life. This reverence is not just a private little thing. It's to be a reverence that radiates out in how we live. And that's where the dignity comes, to live a sober and proper life and behavior that garners the respect of others. Paul understood the nature of prayer, of the act of praying. Prayer is the means, the mechanism by which we raise up and unleash the eternal truth that God is God, that God has purchased through Christ all of humankind and seeks to reconcile all to God's self. That is God's agenda. Prayer, then, reaches well beyond us as we pray for others, but prayer also reaches deep inside of us as well. The act and devotion of praying transforms us into people who move deeper and deeper in our reverence for God and who radiate a life that grows brighter and brighter, drawing from others their respect. That's evangelism. Richard Rohr writes, "As I look at the things and people I have tried to love in my life, I would have to say they made me do it. It was the inherent goodness, inner beauty, vulnerability, deep honesty, or generosity of spirit from the other side that drew me out of myself and toward them. In a very real sense, I did not initiate love toward them. Rather, it was taken from me. I was pulled out of me by them." That's a description of the kind of people Paul is talking about when he speaks of those who are godly and dignified. Do you see the circle Paul is drawing here? The one that keeps spiraling around and around. Pray for kings and those in authority. Do intercessory prayer for the goodness of the whole society. It's that prayer that starts that Jesus said, "Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." That's praying for kings and places of authority. And then the prayer moves in to give us our daily bread and forgive us of our trespasses. That's the going deep inside of us. Praying for others takes us deeper into the spiritual life God wants to have grow in us so that we become that kind of radiating, glorious person that helps motivate others to align their life likewise, ever radiating out in a bigger and bigger circle. And then what can happen? We might actually reach a quiet and peaceful society. We might even get beyond divisions that hold us in tractable positions. People made so by the prayers they have offered on behalf of others that has opened their own hearts to God's transforming, shaping, enlivening grace. We are called to be the kind of people others fall in love with despite themselves because they see in us qualities that sing to their own heart. May this be so of us. Amen.